This is an oral history interview with Cleveland Thomas of Oxford, Alabama, conducted by Eddie Dempsey on 3/28/1996 at Eddie Dempsey's house. The subject of the interview is segregation in the mid-1900s and Mr. Thomas' perspective about how segregation affected his life and his parents' life through the mid-1900s and till present. Cleve, how did segregation affect you and your family growing up and your mother and father? How did it affect you?
Well, Eddie, as a small town now, it didn't really bother me that much, until, we've grown up a little bit and say, when I got in school, then that mostly where it sort of, where it had anything to do with, my mother and father and I, they was into it because they was grown and, traveling, going back and forth to stores and towns and all that, and certain things that, places that they could do, places that they couldn't go, things like that. But,
so they were faced with something going to just grocery stores and...
Shopping in different stores and like that. They was affected to them by that, but to me, it didn't really affect me until, say I got into school. And so then, as growing up, then you could see that different things, things in school, but some of the things that the teachers had gone through, and they was telling us about some of their things, but trying to get us ready to face the world like it was, knowing that we were going to come into different at that time you couldn't, like buses, I could walk too, but they had, some of them had to ride buses, and they had to, sit on the back, the middle of the back of the bus, and then such as that, and going to say eating at a counter in some cafes which weren't allowed, and all that. That didn't affect me until I, growing up.
And this is 12th Street School in Anniston, Alabama, right?
We taught that, say, after I got into the fifth and sixth, getting ready to go into high school, that they even teach us, they just talk about,
Try to prepare you for
the
things you were going to do.
And, as when you're getting up, getting out, like boys do, getting out in going to different parts of the city and the town, places like that, you could see different things and hear different things. And you go to different stores up there. We lived on 19th Street, and my dad always traded with a store. Was at Stevens, Mr. Stevens, and that was over there on it was on Stephen Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go over there, and didn't have much money, so no money at all, and so when the white boys go in there, they could just go around and pick up whatever they want to, but the black boys, they'll tell us, Raymond, I'll wait on you in a few minutes, but we couldn't pick up nothing, they might be stealing or something like that, so, just little things of that nature. Going to, going to pitch show, you had certain areas you didn't just go in a show like you do now,
What was he doing?
Well, it's that, that was, blacks went one way and whites went another way.
And could you go in the same movie? You just had to shift
different? Yeah, you watched the same movie, but you wouldn't name it. You wouldn't. A cafe, so when you go to a cafe, you'd be served out of a side window, you didn't have a place to sit down. At the white area, it's all out in there. You can go and order something, just sit down and eat it. But You couldn't get it at the side window and take it on with you.
How does it feel? Did you how it cut? Do you remember how you felt at that time?
Well, at that time now, that's just the way it was. Until you know, subject arises why we can't, you know, go ahead and sound like the others. I didn't really think nothing about it, you know, then until owned up when you'd want to say, if you had a girl, you want to take her out to a cafe or something like that, you'd have to get your sandwich and go back to the car, and you couldn't sit down, couldn't sit down. It was one place out there, just barbecue, but that's just so you go ahead and get your sandwich, and that wasn't like a little restaurant or anything like that. It was just a sandwich shop.
So as you went on from elementary school into high school, they were teaching you to be prepared for all this stuff. Maybe they were actually teaching this.
Well, no, they actually weren't. They weren't teaching it. They just mentioned it and just let me know. Because we were now in high school, we was getting ready to the teachers sort of get the children prepared to, because they're going out into the world now.
True. Yeah.
And so back then it was altogether different, because things were as they were, and so the teacher was trying to prepare the students the best that they could, because they know what they was going to be facing out in the world.
Was a black teacher?
Yeah, we had all black teachers.
And now you're fixing to go into high school and be in with black people, and you were probably going to be
all through my high school years, we didn't mix still segregated in school. So I came in 56, so they didn't start that until what? Late 60s?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was late 60s.
Did you feel like, if you can remember at that time, did you feel like you weren't getting an education that white boys were getting?
Right. Well, we knew we weren't being taught the same. We've been taught, the basic subjects and all, but about the eighth grade, we were still being taught, what we was being taught in the eighth grade, had been taught in probably the sixth grade.
Yeah.
The subjects that we was taking in the eighth, they had been taught in the sixth. And so, that throws us way behind.
Yeah, you're starting out behind.
You start out behind, and so if you start out behind, you're going to stay behind.
Right.
And so that's what a lot of things, and so then that's when, during that time, Sir Martin Luther King, that's when he realized the way the system was, and so he was wanting everybody to try to be equally, treated equally. That's all we wanted, just to be treated equally. That's all. Yeah.
Were you aware at that time that was what was happening?
We weren't aware at that time that's what was happening, but later on, during the summer, I think I was about the ninth grade. See, I played with some of the white children over at Stevenson's store.
Mm-hmm.
And we became real good friends. And we were somewhere about the same age as I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, he was letting us know, and we got discussing about schooling, that he was out for the summer, and he was telling us we put in the same grade, and he was telling us what kind of books that they had, and what kind of books that, he was telling us what kind of books. He said, we didn't have that, we had that about a year or two ago, And so that's That's one reason I found out that he's, you know, behind.
Yeah.
And so, when you're starting out behind like that, you do sort of wonder, you know, even as curious, you know, school children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a one in mind, so you want to know why.
There you go.
Things are like, you know, like they were.
Did you do anything?
No. Well, it wasn't that not true. I spoke to the teacher, and she said, well, that's the way the government is, you know. They have different type books, and at this time, it's Anderson High. Okay, you know where Anderson High was, so the time is over there, what Quintal is at now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Anderson High was for then. And so, there wasn't nothing that, you know, that we could do, you know, not just being students.
Yeah.
Right.
So you went through school and you graduated in?
In 56.
56.
Yeah.
And after you graduated, what did you do through that,
after I graduated?
Yeah.
Okay, after I graduated, and I was working down at Jeff's Barbecue, stand that's down on 15th Street. In between 15th and Brown and McDaniel. And I worked there and so far, and then after that I went into underwriting, insurance. I started writing insurance there.
How did you cope with that, writing insurance? Tell me a little bit about that.
It was real interesting. Well, as I was working in the store, in the cafe there, the manager of the Pilgrim Health and Life Insurance Company, he'd always come by there on a Monday and to collect insurance from Jeff Barbecue.
The
squad
man?
No, he's black. Yeah. And he has mine going around the counter there waiting on different customers. He said he observed me, how I worked, and, you know, waited on people with a friendly attitude. So he talked to me, you know, several days and asked me how would I like to be an insurance writer.
Did you have any problems with segregation or racism while you were selling insurance?
No. Well, see, because mostly our customers was black.
Okay.
And so we didn't come in contact with white. Oh, now, at the store, you know, we had black and white, you know, come in. And when the police would come in, my boss, Jeff, there, he'd always, they'd always come behind the counter, all the way back in the back, you know, where he,
the police would?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't be waited on, served on the outside, you know, out there in the open.
Oh, so.
And they'd always come all the way around to the back.
Why?
Well, I don't know. They just want to see how the sandwiches are made and, you know, all that. And, yeah, they want a fresh cut meat.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. I like working. I worked there for about 5 years. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Let's see, right after that, I guess World War II started. During the war, you say that you were. Can you recall anything during that time?
Well, they. My family in the head there during the war?
Yeah. Can you recall any type of segregation affecting you?
Well, no, it didn't. That didn't affect me at all. Not the segregation part, okay? My brother, he worked on post there, and where a lot of the soldiers during that time, they would come downtown, and he worked at a bowling alley. And so he, you know, it wouldn't, I don't guess, that didn't affect me, not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.